Revelation chapter number 1. What I'd like to do this morning is just read the chapter, and then we'll be preaching as far into this as we can this morning, and then I'm not sure how the Lord will lead, but it could be that we'd be right back in the chapter tonight. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he said and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. How many believes these things are shortly going to come to pass? Yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You might say, preacher, this was 2,000 years ago that this was written. How could John say the time is at hand? Let me remind you that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So if you're looking at the timetable of our Lord, he's just been gone a couple of days. He'll be back, amen, shortly. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, this is actually the 2 words that this message was birthed in my heart over, those 2 words, I, John. I believe John was another, Sister Danita, that must have thought, who am I? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Boy, I'm glad we've got a book. And send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he laid in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me. Boy, don't you reckon that was a special time? Glory to God, John's not being told right here, get up. Oh no, he's fell at the feet of the right one right here. The Savior, amen. The Savior lays his hand on him. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen. Verse 19 is actually an outline of the book of the Revelation. The things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven golden or seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. If correctly read, that's chapter 1 in the book of the Revelation. Let's pray together for a moment. Our Lord, I sure do thank you for the Bible. I thank you, Lord, that Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Lord, I know that we will never exhaust what you've called us to preach. Lord, I thank you for the truths, the timeless truths of the Word of God. I pray today you'd stir our hearts in this chapter. I pray, Lord, today that you'd get honor and get glory. I pray, God, for that individual today that's lost and undone without God or his Son. I pray that today might be the day, Lord, that they would see him who is invisible, see him who loves them, see him, Lord, that gave his life on an old rugged cross that we could have eternal life. I pray, God, you'd stir us up, convict us, our Father, of our sin, convince us, our Lord, of our Savior's love for us, and, Lord, the fact that you still answer prayer. Save the lost. Strengthen your youngins, our Father. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I guess this would be part 4 if you're counting. Just to keep them separated in my word program, I had John Saul, and then John Saul with a 1, and John Saul with a 2, and John Saul with a 3, and this will be John Saul with the Roman numeral 4 after it. And I want to continue with this thought. At least today, I never even realized it would do what it's done in my heart. But I want to go on in this thought, John Saul. I want to look at 3 things today. And I don't have them all in front of me, so hopefully I can remember them. In this chapter, John Saul, number 1, because he was willing to serve. John was willing to serve. And John Saul, because he was willing to serve. And the second thing that I saw in the chapter is that John saw because he was willing to share. Amen. John had a spirit about him not to keep those blessings inside, but to share those blessings with those around him. And then praise the Lord just helped me to remember the 3rd thing. I thought I was in trouble for a minute. But John saw because he was willing to suffer. A lot of God's people are willing to serve until it involves some suffering. And somewhere or another, they start backing up and they get over to the sideline. I tell you, some of the greatest servants of God that you've ever met in this world have suffered the most. Amen. And John was one that was willing to suffer. So that's the outline for today. Let's go now and see what kind of meat God wants to put on the bones. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, John saw because he was willing to serve, which he gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel. Look at these words, unto his servant John. I have said for years there's not a greater title that a child of God could have than that he is a servant of the Most High God. I believe that with all of my heart. Jesus said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And if you look at that word, it means to serve. He was a servant. It blew the disciples' mind when Jesus would get a towel and gird himself, and that Jesus would bow down and wash the feet of his disciples, setting an example for you and I that the happy Christian is the Christian that does not live his life for himself or herself, but lives their lives for others, amen, and becomes a servant of God. Just several things about John and his willingness to serve. He had left his father's fishing business to follow Jesus when he was young. And John followed the Lord throughout the years of his earthly ministry. And John was there on Mount Hermon when Jesus was transfigured. That must have been a special time. He was there when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. John was close to Jesus as he literally laid his head over on Jesus' bosom there at the supper. Amen. John had a heart for God. Hallelujah. And God had a heart for John. The Bible said we ought to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he would exalt us in due season. And John humbled himself in his life. And now on the isle that's called Patmos, exiled for the word of God and for his testimony, God is exalting this humble servant by the name of John. He was there when Jesus was arrested. He was there when Jesus was tried before the high priest. He was there as Jesus died on the cross. My friend, a lot of them, you couldn't find them. But John was standing right there. He was there to hear the last words of our Lord Jesus before he gave up the ghost. Jesus would look down and say to John from the cross, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." Oh, I tell you, what a glad day. Amen. Peter was afar off. Peter was warming by another fire. But John was standing close to the cross. And God would use John in a mighty way to give you and I the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a servant. He was known as the beloved disciple. He was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I want to just stop and say, I thank God for those that are willing to serve. Let me say something to you this morning. Please listen to me carefully. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, it's all going to be sorted out. And I believe genuine service to our Lord is not service that needs to be seen. Are you listening to me? John was exiled. He was on an island. He was out there all by himself. Are you listening to me? And John was going to serve the Lord regardless. Amen. I believe that Job was the same way. Amen. It didn't matter if others saw. If we would just remember, and I'll get to this later in the study, on the eyes of the Lord, that he sees it all. And he knows it all. Amen. John saw because he was willing to serve. The second thing I want to give you in the message today is John saw because he was willing to share. He was willing to share. Look at verse number 2 down through verse number 6. The word of God said, "Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw." Notice that now. All things that he saw. John didn't close up anything. John didn't reserve anything. Everything God showed him, he showed it to us. He wrote it down in this book. Amen. I like that, don't you? And about the Bible said here, we're talking about sharing. He was willing to share. The Bible said, "Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now I want you to pay particular attention to verse number 5 and verse number 6. Here we're going to see that John is sharing, amen, the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation. You say, "Preacher, where do you see that?" Look at it with me. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead." and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Look at that. You know where salvation starts? He first loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. My friend, when you and I were unable to love anything or love anybody, he loved us. Amen. And we love him this morning because he first loved us. There's the plan of salvation. He loved us. And then the word of God said, and washed us from our sin in his own blood. There's a lot of modern translations and verse here, verse here, verse here, verse here, verse here, verse here, verse there, verse there. Leave out the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, my friend, if you leave out the blood, there is no salvation. There is salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. He made us. Not only did he, my friend, wash us, and not only, my friend, did he love us, but look at verse number 6. He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God that John was willing to share this with us. There's a God that loves us. There's a God that'll wash us. And then there's a God that'll make us. There's a lot of people get excited about the first two and forget about the third one. Let me just say this. I wrote this statement down a while ago. It was something that was birthed in my heart. Not only is the ministry of the Holy Spirit there to break us in conviction. Listen, no one's ever been saved without first being broken in conviction by the Spirit of the living God. Not only is the Holy Spirit there to break us in conviction, but thank God he doesn't leave us alone. After we get saved, he's there to make us in consecration. He begins to work in us that very day that he saves us by his grace. My friend, we come to Jesus and he loves us just like we are. But when we get born again, genuinely saved by the grace of God, born again, washed in his blood. He loves us way too much to leave us just like we are. He begins a work in our life of consecration. He begins a work of sanctification. And my friend, he continues that work until he comes to take us home. I just want to stop and say this morning, thank God for the plan of salvation. It was initiated by God. He loved us. My friend, it was carried out by God. He washed us. And my friend, it will be carried out until the Son of God comes again. Amen. And makes us kings and priests unto our God. Not only this now, here's where probably the meat of the message comes from this morning. John saw because he was willing to serve. John saw because he was willing to share. Now, let me say this morning. I'm not critical of using the term plan of salvation. And I'm not critical. If you want to go down the Romans road, that's fine with me. I can get somebody to Calvary in the Genesis road, and you can too, probably. In the Isaiah road, there's all kinds of roads. But you better end up with more than a plan. You better end up with the man, Christ Jesus. My friend, listen, it's not just about a plan of salvation. The next thing that John sees is the man of salvation, Christ Jesus the Lord. Listen to what the Bible said. We see the Bible said, for there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I believe that, don't you? I believe there's one God and one mediator between God and man. Now, it didn't say the woman, Mary. I'm not trying to be ugly. But God could have said that if he wanted Mary to be the mediator. He could have said that. He didn't say that. He said there's one man between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. And no one comes to the Father except they come by him. Sitting on the front bench, pastoring a church, and the man that was visiting and preaching. He made this statement, and I tell you what's the truth. I don't believe I've ever slid so quickly to the edge of the front bench. I mean to tell you, I thought I was going to have to go get him. How many knows what I mean? I'm going to tell you something right now. If I know there's heresy going on in this pulpit, I won't hesitate to go get him. And say, sir, you're going to have to sit down till we talk about some things. This man made this statement, Brother Rose. He said, there are many roads that lead around the cross. When he made that statement, honey, I went from here to here. You say, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. But then he said this, but here's what you need to remember. None of them lead to heaven. So when he finished his statement, it was accurate. There is a broad way. You can get around the cross, but the problem is you cannot get to heaven going around the cross. If you go to heaven, you'll go the same way every child of God's ever went. You'll go through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved friend, the man, he shares the man of salvation. Let me give you a couple of things that I see here. First, I see the man's location. Let's see where the man is located. The Bible said here, he's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. If you look at it down here at the last verse, it says here, the seven golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, let me give you a couple things. First of all, we see him in the midst at Calvary. You say, preacher, what do you mean? John 19 and verse number 18 said this, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side and Jesus in the midst. Now, let me give you something this morning. Think about this. There's one thief that did not realize he was in the midst. You say, preacher, why do people come to church lost and leave church lost? I tell you why. They don't realize he's in the midst. They don't realize there's help. If they'll just turn to him, there's help for them. One thief realized he's in the midst. Glory to God. I believe he looked at him that day and he saw the spittle. He saw the blood. He saw the thorns. He saw the bruises. He saw his back opened up. He saw his hands and his feet nailed. He saw him suffering for mankind. And he looked at him and said, Lord, remember me. I don't think it's any accident that it was right after Jesus had said to that mob, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that thief began to think things like this. I did it ignorantly in my unbelief, but that's him. He's in the midst, and I can get help if I'll just turn to him and trust him. And the other thief kept on the same way he started. If thou be the Christ. You see, there are people that come to church and don't realize he's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You say, preacher, you got Bible for that? Sure do. I think it's Matthew 18 and verse number 20. Is that it? Yeah. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. How many's gathered in his name this morning? Well, look at yonder. There's a lot more than two or three. That's all it would take is two or three. He said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We see the man's location. He's in the midst. The candlesticks or the lampstands, they were portable oil lamps where they placed to light rooms. The Jews called them a menorah. The menorah has seven branches and was used in the tabernacle. The lampstands were made of gold, the most precious of metal, and they were filled with oil, which was placed in which was placed a wick that was lit to produce the light. The lampstand represented the Holy Spirit and his ability to bring light into the world. The lampstand was a type of Christ. Jesus came into this world and later in his ministry would tell the world, I am the light of the world. But let me remind you, he left the world. And I believe he left the church a responsibility to shine as lights. Philippians 2:15 said this, the lampstands picture the church as the light of the world, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You and I both know that we're living, help me, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Never should be an argument over which bathroom you use. Never should even be an argument over same-sex marriage. Never should even be an argument over marijuana. Well, I hope the day don't come in Kingsport where you can't even ride through Kingsport without smelling it. Say amen, help me. That stuff's not helping people. It's hurting people. Somebody ought to get a real job. I was watching the news the other night, and they asked a young person, do you think the government should furnish marijuana? Oh, yes. Anything free. Can I tell you something right now? Listen to me. Sin has never been free. Sin will never be free. There's a price tag on sin. You listen to me. There's a price tag on sin. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. There's a price tag. But right in the middle of it all, God says, I've got a church that I want to shine. Brother Brian was talking about our visitation. We've got an opportunity, two first Saturdays. And Brother Henry, I know you're covered up, but if I can, I'm going to get you to help me with another flyer, brother. He's got the ability to do that, and he does a great job. But we'll go out and we'll give out Bible school flyers and invite kids to Bible school. We could even invite adults to Bible school because we have an adult class. That's even going to be easier with this schedule, Brother Brian, where we're starting right off the bat, amen, with class in the Bible school. What an opportunity to shine, to let our light shine. The Bible said, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light of the world, a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This morning, we see the plan of salvation. He loved us. He washed us. And he's made us. You say, preacher, that's past tense. Let me give you something. Glory to God. Read Romans chapter number 8. When we get saved by the grace of God, as far as God's concerned, it's a done deal, honey. He sees us as already glorified in his Son. That's why he said, he that hath begun a good work in you, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He will get the job done. In my life, I've started some jobs that I didn't get finished. I looked the other day, I bought some lumber 3 years ago for a project. Quit grinning, Miss Eve. Every time I think I get caught up, I get behind her. Not behind her, behind her. How many knows what I'm talking about? You ever started something you didn't get done? Let me tell you something, February 22nd, 1987. The Lord started something. He'll get it done. He'll finish that which he hath begun. in my life. We see the plan of salvation. We see the man of salvation. We've looked this morning at his location. He is in the midst. I've said this from this pulpit several times. I've said it in private many more times. And I want to say it again publicly today. Brother Gale, I know what it is to preach with liberty. How many of you preachers know what I just said? And I know what it is to preach where things, old boys used to say it, tight as a banjo string. And Brother Ralph, not one tab before this church voted or after this church voted have I stood in this place. You say, preacher, be careful. I am. I'm being careful to give him the glory. He's in the midst. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He's in the midst. He's in the midst. He's not just in the midst of our storm, and I thank God that He is, but He's in the midst of our services. He's in the midst of our worship. He's in the midst when I'm preparing, and He's in the midst when I'm delivering that He is giving me. Thank God this morning, He is in the midst. If you're here this morning and you have a burden, He's in the midst. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I've got good news. He's in the midst. This preacher can't save you. God's given us some wonderful deacons. Not a one of them can save you. Not a one of our Sunday school teachers can save you. But hallelujah, there's one in the midst that can save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him. He's in the midst. And I tell you this morning, when that choir sings, I just want to worship. He's in the midst. He's in the midst. Thank God this morning, our Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you think He owes that to us? Well, I tell you what, you get to feeling like that, and enough of us get to feeling like that, He'll go out of the midst. It's not that He owes us, honey. We owe Him. He's been so good to us. How we ought to bless His name. John saw. John saw because he was willing to serve. John saw because he was willing to share. May God help us as His people to be willing to serve. And may God help us to be willing to share. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning, I want to thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for this man called John. Lord, as we start into an invitation, I pray the sweet Holy Spirit would work in His office, wooing and convicting the lost. But then, Lord, helping. Lord, You are our paraclete, that one that comes alongside to help. Some are carrying burdens, Lord. And it is my prayer this morning that, Lord, someone will cast their care upon the Lord. I pray today, Lord, that we'll recognize and realize that You're in the midst. Two or three gathered together in My name. Lord, always be in the midst of the children's church. May the children learn about Jesus. Be in the midst of the little ones in the little 3 to 5 year old children's church. Be in the midst, Lord, of our choir. Be in the midst, our Father, of every Sunday school class. God, we pray you'd forever be in the midst of the Bible Way Baptist Church. God, without you, we're nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, nothing of eternal value would ever be accomplished. Lord, we welcome you in our midst. Do what's needed in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.